Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Mardell.
We have another time with Sally here. And those of you who don't know Sally, Sally is one of our bigger producers. Sally and Rafe are one of our bigger producers of food for the Valley. She is one who produces food to sell for most of the year, both at the farmer's market, and you have your own little stands. And
do a CSA.
Oh, you're doing a CSA as well.
A couple of restaurants.
Holy moly, you are a busy lady.
Just in the summer months, right. Mostly for sale.
That's the good thing about gardening, although that time is coming up that the rush comes on. And we're actually going to talk about that a little bit in this show of what we're doing at this point with seedlings and whatnot. But first, a question that came in from the audience about composting. And she asks, this comes from Suzanne, about composting. I have a big compost bin that I can spin around. I eat lots of fruits and veggies, so I always have lots of materials to add to it. I include tea bags, eggshells, coffee grounds, but my compost is not balanced. It needs more grass, paper, etc., maybe sawdust. It's always wet and mushy. I do not add grass clippings as my own is full of invasives and weeds. That's good. Like Indian paintbrush. I don't have leaves to add, as we live on the side of Rupinsky and mostly have pine needles. We have a few cherry trees and a birch or two around. Can I add those leaves whole? Can I add black and white newspaper? Can I add shredded white paper? So, share your composting experience and wisdom.
Any of those leaves would be fine to add. Yeah. And it sounds like maybe what happens in the winter in our situations here often is that we run out of those carbon-rich materials.
Right.
So thinking about stockpiling some of those leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Or another thing I've been trying, I wonder if other people do this, is I save all of my potting soil that was in potted plants from the year. If I'm going to renew that next season anyway. Mm-hmm. I save it. It can be nice and dry if you just stop watering it, you know, in September. And that makes a great additive to all those kitchen scraps
in
the winter for for the compost pile or the bin or the spinny barrel.
Mm-hmm.
And it absorbs a lot of the moisture and odors too. Or
do you use leaves?
If I can get them.
Yeah, right. It can be a struggle to get leaves. What I do is I suck up leaves with the reverse action of a leaf blower. And so I harvest bags and bags and bags of leaves in the fall. So that's what I do for my carbon source. But some people use straw. So what is your major carbon source, would you say, when you make your big compost piles?
When I make a lot, I use old sawmill waste or some straw. And that's about it that I can get in quantity.
So that kind of answers her question. Can you add sawdust? My answer to that would be, and I don't know if you would agree with this, that already composting sawdust is okay, but to just go get fresh sawdust may not be such a good idea.
I would say if you do that, don't expect to use your compost for several years, which is okay if you just need to, you know, avoid putting your food waste in the landfill. You can compost it and keep it for several years while it ages to really break down.
Yeah, you can. I mean, my compost piles are 3-year increments. I do a slow composting method. Some people do a fast. They want it really fast.
But if you want to use it right away, definitely avoid the fresh sawdust.
Yeah,
or mill waste.
Mm-hmm. Pine needles. I don't see a problem with putting pine needles in.
I imagine they're fairly acidic.
Yeah.
But
although the studies show that. They're not as acidic as
fine.
We all were led to believe at one point. So, yeah, I would add, you know, I treat my compost pile a little bit like how I eat. I eat a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good to put, especially after hearing Jeff Lowenfels here last year, he talked about how compost, it's good to have diversity because really what you're doing is you're creating those microbes in the compost. So stick in whatever you've got, but don't go too heavy on anything. Mm-hmm. And remember, you need to have that carbon-nitrogen ratio. And yes, Suzanne, that is what has happened in your pile, is you've got too much nitrogen and you got to get some carbon added in there. So mm-hmm. if you get a mushy or smelly pile, it means you got too much nitrogen, and get some carbons in there, which is oftentimes a struggle because you need more carbon than you do mm-hmm. nitrogen.
And if you did want to create a more fungal rich mm-hmm. Compost material, you could go ahead and add more of those tree products.
Yep, like exactly.
The sawdust and the pine mm-hmm. the spruce needles.
Or you can go out and dig in the forest soil too. Forest duff, I've gone and felt like a badger and dug up tree roots and got some of that soil that is decomposing and stuck that in my compost because I'm introducing different microbes by putting that in.
And we forgot to talk about this in our last show we just recorded about mm-hmm. mulch, but if you do have access to fresh wood chips or wood or sawdust, mm-hmm. And you have raspberry plants, I find they make a great mulch mm-hmm. for the mm-hmm. raspberries. They're perennial, so that's that top layer, if you mulch with the fresh sawdust, it's not going to get incorporated into right. the soil to rob the nutrients right away. Mm-hmm. It's just going to create a nice little top right. layer. And
your raspberry roots are really down low. And one of the things that the latest research about fresh wood chips and sawdust is that it robs the nitrogen for a while at the beginning of the decomposition process, but not so much once it's already started and the process is on the way. There's not so much is taken out. So that's what the latest research is on that.
Well, that's good news to anyone who's incorporated it into
yes,
their garden
right.
in the last few years. I did a little experiment with that and grew some garlic in a bed that had fresh sawdust compost mm-hmm. incorporated, not used as a mulch.
Mm-hmm. How'd it do?
The garlic did so terribly.
Terribly,
yes.
Really? So it did have nitrogen robbed from it.
It really
then.
Did, oh, yeah.
Interesting, yeah. She asks about, can I add shredded paper? And yes, you can. Newspaper particularly is good. Most of the inks are now soy-based. At one point, inks were a little bit of a problem, but it seems that most of the inks are now soy-based. So newspaper is great. Shredded white paper, sure. Except white paper is a little bit better for recycling. It has value for recycling. But yes, you can add, and I would shred it. I wouldn't put whole paper in. Some people use cardboard. Do you ever put cardboard in your compost?
No, I never do.
I do. It's a personal choice. Be careful. Don't put tapes and stuff in there. And some cardboards do probably have glues. And so be aware of that you may be introducing that. And also with white paper has chlorine in it. And so you might want to be aware that you are putting some chlorine in your compost when you put in white paper. So you can make your own personal choice on that. So I think that is enough on that. Oh, another thing that came from the Farmer Summit is that people are using, who live by the coast, which many of our listeners do, they go out and get sea grass. I guess beach grass, I think, is what it's called. And they use that as a mulch or in their compost as well as a carbon source. Be aware, anytime you bring in anything, if it's got weeds, you know, you could be setting yourself up for weeds. If your compost gets hot enough, it's not a big deal. But if it doesn't get hot, then you might be introducing some weed seeds. So another question is, to transplant my seedlings or not? How do I know when to move my seedlings to a bigger pot?
Well, you want to do it before you see signs that the plant is stressed. So you know it's definitely time if you see...
If you see the plant stressed, you're
yellowing
late.
Leaves. Mm-hmm. They've perhaps run out of nutrients in mm-hmm. their current cell. Mm-hmm. And they can probably recover if you move them to a larger pot with more fresh soil.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the important thing to look at is the roots. So you might have to pull out a couple plants and just, you know, sacrifice them and look at the roots. And if they're winding around and around, maybe next time it's time to do it a little sooner.
Earlier, yeah.
Yeah, if they're just at the edges of the cell or the soil block, soil blocks are nice for that because they do what's called air pruning, and they'll basically stop at the edge of the soil
they
block.
Exactly, they don't wind around.
They'll be ready to go into the next size up.
And that's why with soil blocks, I'm always amazed at how long you can keep a plant in a block, much more than, like, if you're going to, there's not a whole lot more soil in a soil block than there is in one of those little baby cells, but you can keep them in there much longer because the roots don't wrap around the way they do in this.
Yeah, they must somehow make better use of the volume of soil.
And my experience has shown that there are some plants that recover just fine from having root bound, you know, having roots. We probably all bought plants from a nursery or something, and you take them out and it's just the soil, the roots are just all running around in, you know, little circles around it. And some plants recover just fine, and other ones never really.
And I never know if it's better with those to sort of break up the root ball or to just leave it be and put it
and let it do its own
soil.
Thing. I know I have that question all the time, too. And so I do a little bit of both,
depending
upon what my mood is that particular day. There probably, that's something I should probably research. There probably is an answer to that question.
But again, it depends upon
the plant, I'm sure. Some plants have very sensitive roots. So that is something about seedlings. There are some plants like cucumbers, zucchinis, all of the squashes have very tender, sensitive roots. And so you don't want to be moving those around. In fact, that's what I like soil blocks for, again, is that you don't have to touch the roots. And there's some plants that are really susceptible. Most of those are ones that another one is beans. They say don't ever transplant beans. I do all the time, but it's, and corn is another one that's got one big strong root. So there are some plants that you have to be really much more careful with the roots. Whereas a tomato, I've been kind of abusive almost at times.
Yeah, it can handle
more.
Several transplantings. Mm-hmm. Whereas, the cucurbits family, I just go ahead and put them in the one pot they'll be in until they're in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So it might take up a little more space in the greenhouse, but it avoids the extra handling for the squashes and the beans. Do you just end up having to transplant them to another pot?
No, I put them in my soil blocker. And beans, I only do like 2 weeks before. You cannot leave them very long because their root system grows really fast. So I put them in a soil block. And the main reason I do that is because I have a hard time with germination with beans in my soil. And I just find that it works better for me to take the already existing plant.
Yeah.
So that's one of the main reasons I do that. I actually do that to a bunch of plants. It gives you a head start. So I plant a seedling at the same time as planting some seeds. And that's a good way of doing succession planting. So... anything else about seedlings? We got another minute. Probably covered everything we need to say about that for now. I will say, please send your questions, your ideas for topics into garden@khns.org. And if we are thinking about planning a little mini garden conference, and we are always open for topic ideas of what people are interested in learning about, either from, I find that the experience here in our valley is the most valuable, but also getting outside experience and outside knowledge is sometimes good.
Yeah, and there's so many interesting up-and-coming new garden topics out there.
There is. Mushrooms.
But it's hard for any one person to experiment with them all.
Yeah, I know. That's true. Yeah. So, all right. So send your questions, send your topics in, and happy gardening. And you're out there enjoying the good weather of gardening at this time of year.